We have had, in this past week, a wonderful week, have we not? It was a wonderful time. Vacation Bible School went very well, and very thankful to Brother Gene and Sister Carol. You know, Gene may have been the public face, but I know Carol's right there with him working hard, and we need to take time to thank them for the hard work that they gave. And so be sure that when you see them this morning, you thank them, because they worked very hard to make VBS a great success. Now, I did have some people that haven't been here before for our VBS, some of our newer members, come up to me and go, "I didn't know Gene could be like that." I said, 51 weeks out of the year, he's not. But Gene did a fantastic job in leading the kids and encouraging them and teaching them, and we're so thankful to him. We're also thankful to all the ones that gave of their time to teach and to serve in all the different ways that we need people to serve in to make something like that a success. And so thank you for that, and we look forward to next year, and hopefully have another wonderful one. I'm sure we will. Now, we continue our series on Two Roads Diverge, and we talk about, you know, as we go through this life, we walk the path of life, we come to forks, we come to times where we have to make decisions. We can only go one way or the other, and we want to make the right decisions, and so much of our life is about making those decisions. And so, you know, we want to know how to look at Jesus Christ, to find His steps, to follow in the prints that are already been laid by the man that lived that life perfect, that when He came to those forks in the road, He made the right choice without fail. And that's what we want in our lives. He left for us a pattern. He left for us a path that we might follow and to live like Him and to be the kind of people that would live up to the name Christian, that would wear His name and wear it proudly and wear it right. You know, sometimes we feel like life is throwing more at us than we can bear. Life will deal us each a steady flow of pain, suffering, loss, stress, and death. That is life. All of these things, though, as we think about them, are a result of sin. They began when Adam and Eve corrupted God's very good creation. Our own sins make all these things something that humanity as a whole ultimately deserves. You know, I think we don't always take the right look at sin, do we? Sin is the enemy. And too often we're trying to be more close to the sin than away from it. And we need to realize that everything that you suffer in your life, everything that goes bad in this world, is as a result of God's perfect creation being corrupted by that very thing. It is the enemy. And it needs to be out of our lives. And yet men's sin will continue to bring suffering to us. No suffering on this earth rises, though, to the injustice of a single sin against a holy and just God. I think we also forget at times how much our sins hurt God, how much they break His heart to see that which He created, that which was to be the pinnacle of His creation, reject Him and do that which is in contrast to His nature. Yet it is the consequences of sin that God sent Jesus and Christ to die upon the cross to lift from our lives, to give us something to be able to endure, to give us something to be able to overcome, not only the sin in our lives, but the consequences of sin in this world and the difficulties that sin brings to our lives in this world. He came and He suffered unjustly and carried the consequences of our sins upon Himself. He suffered heartache. He suffered loss, stress, pain, and even the death of the cross. And yet He never committed a sin. Instead, He suffered the consequences of my sins, your sins, and indeed the sins of the whole world. You know, I deserve it, and I understand that, and I think we all need to understand that. You know, it causes me to wonder sometimes when a person goes, "I don't deserve this." Yes, you do. You deserve death. But Jesus Christ came to give you something besides what you deserve, to provide for you a merciful alternative. If there is anything truly unfair in this life, it is our Lord's life on this earth, that He had to leave heaven to come here. That's unfair. And it is our Lord's death upon the cross for having done nothing wrong. That is terribly unfair. You know, I often tease and say, well, my mama may have gave me a few spankings for things I didn't do, but I guarantee you she was just getting the things she didn't know I did, right? And you know, while I may not deserve something at some particular point, if I get punished for it, I probably deserve it for something else that I didn't get caught for. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so that would be true for each and every one of us. Today's lesson is entitled Enduring the Impossible. And what I want to emphasize is that it is the impossibility of enduring in this life without God. And I want us to consider the Bible character Job, that endured great difficulties in this life and yet survived, and didn't just survive, he thrived because he looked to God. Job's suffering was great, wasn't it? I doubt very many or any of us have suffered like Job suffered in our lives. To compare our suffering to Job would be to put it up against a pretty high standard. Within minutes, I mean literally just minutes, literally stacked right up on top. When one servant was leaving, another was coming in with more bad news. Within minutes, Job lost everything he had. And within minutes, he also lost all of his children. All that you have and all of your children. Even with these losses, though, as we think about these losses, we're going to think about these losses, his first inclination, his first desire was to worship. He tore his clothes, shaved his head, and the Bible says he fell to the ground to worship. And in his worship, he praised God by saying, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How many of us in those moments would have blamed God instead of saying, "Blessed be the name of the Lord"? "God, why did you let this happen to me?" instead of, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And that all these things that I have in this life, I understand I will not take any with me. There are no pockets in a shroud. I came into this world naked, and I will leave with nothing as well. You know, the loss of all that we have is a terrible thing to suffer. The loss of one child is unimaginable to me. And either of these could be considered by some as having to endure the impossible, couldn't it? Either one of these by themselves. And we live in a time when people have lost a lot of what they have, or even all of what they have. And we've seen that in the past as well, in the Great Depression. We know people that have lost children, and we think about those things, and we think those are just almost impossible to endure. But imagine that Job is suffering both of those simultaneously. And he didn't just lose one child, he lost all his sons and daughters. How do you endure that? How do you make it? You look to God, from whom every good thing comes from, according to James. If your life is filled with those things that are bad in this world and in this life, the pain, the suffering, the heartache, folks, you have nowhere else to look but to the one that gives every good thing. And He is a constant in the good and the bad. We look to the source of good things like peace and comfort and joy, and that is God. I can't give those things to you. Elders can't. No one else in this building can, but God can. And He will. When a person understands that every good thing that is in their lives and every good thing that they are is as a result of God, they are thankful to Him, and it becomes a constant in their life, a constant thankfulness of God's love and His care, and a constant faith and a trust in the fact that He will always provide those things to us. And that is the constant in the good and the bad times in this life. It is a constant that the constant is that God knows what I am going through. I guarantee you there's never been anything that happened to you in your life that has escaped the notice of God. If He sees the sparrow falls from the sky, doesn't He notice what's going on with you? Most certainly He does. The constant is that God will give me strength to endure. He will give me that strength through His providence, through His Word and the faith I receive from it, through God's family that He has allowed me to be a part of through the spiritual rebirth by water and Spirit. See, I think we need to remember that, right? And God has allowed me to be a part of this family. I'm not here because I want to be here. I'm here because God allows me to be here, to be His son, for you to be His sons and daughters. The constant is as well that God gives me strength to endure through means that I do not even know or understand. I can't stand up here this morning and tell you every way that God can strengthen you because, quite frankly, I don't know. Because I'm not God. And I'm just not smart enough. We often, though, are victims of our own selfishness, and we victimize God with our selfishness as well. And we see Job overcoming this. You know, after Job lost all that he had and all of his children, he then lost his health, didn't he? I mean, if it wasn't bad enough to lose all your possessions, to lose all your children, unfortunately have to keep his wife, right? Because she wasn't real friendly, real encouraging. We'll see that in a moment. Then he loses his health. And folks, we're not talking about he had a tummy ache. We're not talking about that he just felt bad. He was covered with worm-filled, festering sores that were breaking open from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And in constant, terrible pain. That's how Job lost his health. In fact, his appearance was so horrible that his wife would say, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" His pain was so great and his appearance was so disturbing that when his friends came to comfort him, for 7 days they couldn't even find what to say. Can you imagine seeing someone so horrible and disfigured that you couldn't even figure out what to say to them for 7 days? And yet that is exactly where we see Job. So now we add another great difficulty of life to Job that many allow to destroy their faith, and that is sickness. Now Job is suffering all at one time, loss of his possessions, the loss of his family, and the loss of his health. And any one of these is more than many can bear. What was Job's response? When his wife told him to curse God and die, called her a foolish woman. And then he said, "Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?" See what I'm saying? He overcame the idea of selfishness, right? That everything that happens to me in my life should be good. God should just give me all good stuff. He said, if I'm willing to accept good, I should be willing to accept adversity as well. I should be willing to accept difficulty. Our selfishness often dictates that God should only allow blessings and good to follow my life at all times. And see, the problem with that is that's all about me. And I forget that God sees a bigger picture of life than I do. And I know of examples where people have gone through difficult times and it prepared them for later life. It prepared them for other things that they could not see. Because God sees further than you do. And so we trust Him. And if He allows us, as He allowed Job to go through adversity, we trust that He is doing that for a good purpose because everything from God is good. And He is preparing us. He is strengthening us. You know, it is terrible to say that only good things should happen to me in my life. That says that I'm all that matters. But I ask you, Going back to Jesus Christ, did only good things happen to him? Jesus Christ did not live a life of material prosperity, did he? Foxes have holes and the birds have nests, right? Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. Jesus had very little materially. He knew difficulty. He knew heartache. He knew loss. He did not have material wealth, easy living, or fair treatment. Why in the world would we as sinners think that we should escape any kind of difficulty when the one who had no sin knew a lot of it? And saw it all through his life. And yet there was a purpose and there was a reason by God for him suffering those things. The text goes on to say that in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Maybe Job said it best in Job chapter 14 and verse 1 when he said, "Man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers." Job summed up life pretty well. Life is short and it is filled with turmoil often. However, while Job understood this reality of life, he also acknowledged God is the reason and the source for his endurance. Yes, that may be the reality and that may be the truth of the matter, that life is difficult, because life is. And if anybody tells you otherwise, they're lying to you. And God never promised life to be anything else. But he also promised that he would be there for us. Let me tell you what, there's nothing in this life that can overcome us with God on our side. He is for us. Who can be against us, right? The one that is in us is greater than the one that is in the world. We can't overcome. Listen to what Job says in Job chapter 19 and verse 24. He says, "As for me," and we sing this song. He says, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God." Job understood this life. He understood what was important in this life. Job understood that whatever happens in this life, it all ends with God. It all comes to God. It begins with God. It ends with God. Jesus Christ said in the book of Revelation, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end." And He is the beginning of all things and He will be the end of all things. Jesus Christ. Whatever you begin, whether it's spiritual or physical, it began with God. "The Spirit shall return to God who gave it." It's a verse that sums it up, isn't it? But Job understood that it all ended with God. Therefore, he was going to focus on God in the worst of times, even death, because God lives and is there. See, that's what he's talking about when he says, "My skin is gone." He's talking about when his body's all decomposed and gone. There's God. Oh, and we worry so much about this body and this life and all how we look and, you know, billions of dollars spent on plastic surgery so I can be pretty. And one day it's all going to rot. And all that's left is God. And oh, that we would spend billions of dollars on finding ways to serve Him. Something that lasts. Something that endures. Trials and tribulations are a part of life. And I've heard people blame God, the church, members, their family, and society. And every person that I heard casting blame, I never saw a single one of them look to God. That's why you got to blame. Because you're not looking in the right place. You're not looking to the one that can truly see you through. Who or what's to blame does not matter when one looks to God to endure. Knowing whose fault it is doesn't change anything. It only adds bitterness. Seeking God and His blessings is the true and decisive way to focus our energies in impossible times. Why? Because Gabriel said truly, "With God, nothing is impossible." And the opposite of that statement is, "Without Him, everything is." You'll never survive anything, much less the end of this life. Job stated after God spoke to him from the tornado. And you know, I always find those passages just to be awe-inspiring. You know, Job says, just let God come down and talk to me. Explain this to me. He's not blaming God, but he just wants God to come and talk to him. If God just come and talk to me and we could work this out, there's obviously been some kind of mistake. Right? But I love when God came. He came in a tornado. Did y'all know that? Bible calls it a whirlwind. That's a tornado. So think about when you see these tornadoes on TV. That's what God came in to talk to Job. And I don't think it was an F1. I think it was a big one. When God spoke, he said, I'm here. And Job said, never mind. He said, I put my hand over my mouth because I talked when I should have been quiet. How many times have we done that? Be slow to speak. Job learned it right in front of God. He said, I'm going to shut up. God said, oh, no, you're not. I got some questions for you. Job couldn't answer any of them. You know why? Because God is that much greater than we are. He could ask questions for infinity that we could never even begin to hope to answer. Because only He, God, knows them. But after God spoke to him from the tornado in Job 42, Job says, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. If God wants to bless you and you know as his child that he wants to bless you, nothing can stop him from doing it. No circumstance in this life can keep him from strengthening you. No circumstance in this life can keep him from comforting you. No circumstance in this life can keep him from anything that he wants to give to you. And if we as evil fathers, Jesus said, give good things to our children, how much more will He give to you, the righteous, holy Father in heaven? But yet we don't trust Him. And that's where we fail. God never fails. We fail. We fail Him. And we fail to go to the place where it is. God can do greater things than you can know or understand. That's what Job said. He said, therefore, I have declared that which I do not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. God can do greater things for you than you can even begin to think and hope and know today. And until you believe that with all of your heart and live it through study, practice, and prayer, you will suffer and you will feel like the difficulties of this life are impossible because they are without God. Sufferings in this life without God are never ending. Death does not even bring them to an end, does it? You know, that's the thing about when it talks about hell and the worm dieth not, you know, that you're burning. But, you know, if you were on fire and you were burning to death, you would at least have some kind of hope that I'm going to die and this is going to stop. Not in hell. You know, a person who does not look to God or does not give themselves to God, we can't even say in death that they're in a better place. And that breaks our hearts. It has broken mine time and time again because I don't have that comfort. They may have suffered on this earth terribly, but death was not a relief. Their difficulties were impossible because they were difficulties faced without God. Jesus came, endured, and conquered what was impossible for us to overcome. And that is our sins. The day Nathan committed his first sin, the ability for Nathan to do anything about his salvation in and of himself, of my own strength, of my own abilities, ended. I had to look to someone else. My situation was impossible without God. There was no way I'd get to heaven except through the way, the truth, and the life. So I had to look to Him. So if you live life outside of God, you are enduring the impossible because you have no hope. There is no chance to find relief, to find comfort, to find anything good. Talking about persecution in the Beatitudes, Jesus finished with, great is your reward in heaven. Remember that. You can endure it. You can go through persecutions. You can go through ridicule. You can endure the insults because great is your reward in heaven. Folks, you don't have that if you haven't come to Christ. If you don't have God. Jesus Christ did the impossible. He did so through great suffering upon the cross. Sin brings suffering to our world. May we all see that. And may we all understand that. And may we understand the evil of sin. We sometimes want to get to, oh, that ain't so bad. Yes, it is. Job talks about as well the evil of life. And every sin is evil, from the little white lie to the little gossip, to murder, to abortion, what have you. It is evil. We need to stay away from it. So we see that we need to see those things and we need to look at what those things bring to our lives. You know, we get angry at someone who brings hurt to our lives, right? Someone who stabs us in the back, someone who betrays us. We're angry at them. Why are we never angry at sin? And for all that it has brought to us and all the pain and the suffering and the death that it has brought to our lives, why don't we get angry at that? Put our anger in the right place. And that is exactly what we see. You know, we need to declare war upon sin. We need to declare war upon it to seek to destroy it, not only in our lives, but in our world. First, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we see this attitude demonstrated as Paul talks about godly sorrow that produces true repentance. And in verse 11, Paul makes an observation. He says, behold what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow. He says, this very thing, this godly sorrow has produced in you that vindication of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what avenging of wrong. These people saw what sin did to their lives. And he says that they were seeking vindication against their sin. They were indignant about what sin was doing to them, to their lives. They had a zeal to take vengeance on those things that had caused them to do wrong. And they were going to remove them. They were going to destroy them. Today, we need to take advantage of Jesus conquering the impossible when He died on the cross. We need to join Him in an effort to destroy sin. See, Jesus understood how terrible sin was. He understood it from spikes in His hands, whips on His back, spikes in His feet, and a death so horrible that it's hard to imagine. He saw so vividly and clearly the horrible nature of sin. I guess we've seen too many commercials that glorify it, right? Oh, people drinking alcohol, they're having a great time. People doing drugs, oh, that's a great time. People having promiscuous sex, oh, that's a great time. They don't show you the horrible side of that. And if they did, our society wouldn't be embracing it so much. We need less commercials and more TV. More Bible. Less TV and more Bible. No, don't. Now, you know that's not what I meant. Because that would not have made sense. We need to take advantage. Then you can face whatever this life has in store for you with faith and knowledge and hope that God knows all, sees all, provides all, and is good and true in this life and in life eternal. No matter what you lose, no matter what you suffer, no matter where you are, no matter what you have, God is there. And that is a wonderful reassurance for us in our lives. We read Psalm 23 oftentimes, and many have it memorized, and we just read through it and we don't really hear the words of a man who's saying, I trust God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's nothing else I need. I don't need popularity. I don't need praise of men. I don't need anything else. I just need Him. I don't want anything else. He gives me everything I need to live this life. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Really, the correct translation is the valley of deep darkness. And folks, you're going to go through those valleys of deep darkness. Those sheep had to. They didn't want to. That's where the predators were. And they didn't want to go through those. And they would only go through those valleys of deep darkness because his rod and his staff comforted them, right? They knew the shepherd would protect them. And we will only make it through the dark valleys of our lives when we trust Jesus, when we trust in His rod and His staff to protect us and to get us to the other side where there is green grass and still water that we can fill ourselves and be restored. And that's exactly what we see with Job, right? A man at one point that was on one side of a dark valley, a man who went through a dark valley, and a man who came out on the other side, blessed by God because he followed God through it. And he was restored, wasn't he? Received greater blessings than he had even before he had gone through that valley. Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, aren't you lonely? What do you have to look forward to in this life? What do you have to look forward to in death? Doesn't life seem hollow without the Creator and the One who blesses the universe? Can you do anything about your sins by yourself? No. And the destruction wrought by your sins will cause you to endure the impossible, because you will endure them without God's help. And that's so unnecessary. And it's so unneeded. And God wants so much more for you. We want so much more for you. It doesn't have to be that way. Jesus died to provide you with another option, to keep it from having to be that way. Make Him real and the strength He provides real in your life today. Trust in it. Believe in it. No matter what this world throws at you, that I've got God on my side and I will overcome. And you may be in the middle of the tunnel and you may not be able to see light on either end, but the curve will eventually come to the other end. You will see the light. God will provide an exit. Make Him real. And you will never have to endure the impossible, because all things are possible with God. This morning, if we can help you in any way in coming to the God of possible, so that you can leave the life of impossible, we hope and pray that you will let us do that. It is to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is our prayer that you obey that this morning. To believe in Jesus Christ, to repent of your sins, to confess Him as Lord and Savior. Be buried in baptism, to rise, to walk a life that has purpose, a life that has possibility, a life that has hope. Hope with a God that will take you home. This morning, if you're a child of God, maybe you've forgotten that God really is the answer to every one of your problems. He really is. And you've tried to do it on your own, and you're doing the impossible. Because without Him, you can't make it. Give your trust to Him wholly this morning. If we can help you in any way spiritually this morning, we hope and pray that you will let us as we stand, as we sing.